brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down from the cross that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the Younger, and of Joses, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Close to my mom and dad's place in Kingston, there is a church. This church. It's a stunningly beautiful church building. And sadly, I've heard recently that this Roman Catholic parish is combining with another, and this church will be abandoned. Delisted, deconsecrated, whatever the process is. It's located between their apartment and the Kingston Penitentiary. The name of this church is the Church of the Good Thief. I love the name of that church. The passage that we read talks about the people that were crucified with Jesus and says that they heaped insults on him. But other gospel accounts continue the story and say that one of them indeed came to Jesus' defense and urged the other man being crucified to change his attitude towards Christ. This church was built with the labor of the convicts of Kingston Penitentiary, and it seems to have a special poignancy because of it. You can see above the door in the picture that there is a little statue. Zooming in on it, you can see that it is a man who was crucified. But that is not a picture of Jesus Christ. That is indeed a picture, a sculpture, a statue of the one who was on one of his sides who died with him. We think of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. I think of this man as our brother. The people who were crucified with Jesus have commonly been called thieves or robbers. And indeed, the translation that we read from today identified them as such. But that's actually probably not the most accurate words to use to describe them. The Greek word in the text can mean that. It can mean a thief or robber or burglar. But it also can be translated to be a rebel or a revolutionary. Since thieves and robbers were not crucified by the Romans, but revolutionaries and rebels were, it seems much more likely that the crime that brought those two men to the cross was not thievery, but rebellion. Indeed, if you look in chapter 15, the same chapter we read from a little bit earlier, in verse 7, you read about Barabbas. And it says that Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. So it's more likely that the people who were crucified with Jesus were these insurrectionists, those that had tried to create a rebellion against Rome, had committed murder in trying to get that rebellion started, and because of that, they found themselves condemned to death on a cross. It all makes sense because Jesus was crucified for exactly the same reason. Jesus Christ claimed to be king. What was written above him and hung on his cross was not a lie. It was a statement. And we know that it was a statement of fact that Jesus was the King of the Jews. And not only of the Jews, that he was the King of all whom God would gather to himself, all who would long for the kingdom of God. People who are in positions of power and privilege know that movements that seek to turn upside down the created order need to be crushed. Jesus was a revolutionary, and he came to turn everything upside down and topsy-turvy. And the Jewish leaders recognized that and wanted him gone. And the Romans recognized him as a threat, and so participated in his death. Because of Jesus' commitment to the Father's will, because of his love, we now look ahead, not to an eternity of condemnation. We look forward to an unending embrace of his love. Because of him, we do not need to fear. Instead, we can look forward to the peace that passes understanding. Instead of brokenness and alienation in our lives, because of him, we can look forward to a future of restoration and wholeness. Yet even as we celebrate the benefits of Christ's love for us, on this day we grieve the price that he had to pay. Why, we ask, did it take betrayal? Why did it take his humiliation? Why did it take the agony of alienation from his father? Why did it take physical torment? Why did it take nails pounded into his flesh? Why did it take death? Well, so terrible is the sin and brokenness of the world. So terrible is the sin and brokenness in myself and in you. But it took a terrible sacrifice to bring hope and reconciliation to the world and to you and to me. How great is the love of the Father. How total is the redemption which is ours through His Son. How perfect is the peace that is now ours in the Holy Spirit. Let's meditate on that as we listen again to this song by Michael Card, sung by John Michael Talbot.
Why did it have to be a friend who chose to betray the Lord? And why did he use a kiss to show that's not what a kiss is for? Why do you